after the song.
Love.
Cutting Crew, right? Is that what this is? Cutting Crew? Okay, you have... Do you have, like...
I get step dancing.
You do jazz hands to all of these songs.
No, I'm expressing myself since I'm sitting in a chair. It's chair dancing.
Do this. Go, Mammy! That's totally what your hands... No, that's totally the hands you're doing. Sarah is totally doing the, whoever that guy is. Louis Armstrong? Whoever that guy. Cutting Crew. The only thing I know about the Cutting Crew is that I believe there is an actual drummer here. This isn't a machine. And I'm pretty sure that this drummer went on to... I am just a useless fountain of crap. There you go. There's your quote of the day. Rick Emerson, I am a useless fountain of crap. Also a banana. I'm pretty sure that this drummer went on to play on some of Robert Plant's solo albums. Died in your arms tonight. Mammy! That's, every time you make those jazz hands, I'm going to say that. Sarah is like... How do I describe it? You all know the face. She is putting her hands up, fingers splayed on either side of her face, and like tilting her eyes upward and kind of moving her hands and her palms, you know, her palms and your face back and forth. Why are you miming that you're in a wheelchair? That doesn't make any sense.
No.
You're Christopher Reeve?
No.
Why were you making wheelchair motions just now?
Because I feel like I'm wheelchair dancing.
I don't understand. Have you ever... Oh, by the way, we were talking earlier...
You offended everybody else today.
We were using the phrase Jeremy's porn stash earlier. We should... please allow us explain ourselves. We were referring to one of the engineers.
Jeremy's girlfriend's dad. He does not have a porn stash.
Yeah, Jeremy's sort of de facto father-in-law apparently is listening. And we use the phrase, Jeremy has a porn stash. What we meant by that is he has an extensive collection of pornography that he views frequently and without end.
We didn't mean to cause so much confusion.
I didn't mean to imply that he had any sort of unpleasant facial hair. What I mean is that he has hundreds and thousands of pornographic videotapes that he views, usually while at work here at CBS Radio Portland.
It's during his quiet time.
It's when he's during his union-mandated 15-minute breaks. It's really kind of 3 5-minute breaks when you think about it.
This show, copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.
Anywho, it's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. I got emails to read here. And I have the worst story you've ever heard in your entire life. Right here. And I know that we say things like this, like we often, and people say to me, all of this 80s stuff, you know, I might as well talk about a lot of this 80s stuff today, because we're never, when will it ever be more, if not me, who, if not now, when? It's never going to be more appropriate than today, because we are here broadcasting live from the studios of the new Movin' 107.5, which is formerly the home of a bunch of 80s music. Anyway, so we're here testing it out because Lycus is going to be in town next week. And it seems like I'm saying this a lot is because it's a big thing. Lycus is going to be in town next week. Next Thursday, he will be doing his show live from this from this building over here. And then next Friday, he will be there having his ring kissed by Scotty J and company at Barracuda.
So why do you think Scotty J idolizes Tom Lycus so much?
Oh, we're treading on the very thin ice, Sarah Dillon. I don't really... Why don't you just ask what you really want to ask in light of yesterday's show? Let me just say, when is Bob Costantini joining us? Like five minutes?
Yeah, keep your call screening software up.
Okay. So let's just open a big can of worms right now, and we don't have possibly any... is adequate time to address it.
You know, okay.
Would you like to then...
This is what has been bothering me.
Here's... let me just say this.
Preface it.
Let's talk about... this whole conversation happened... this whole conversation happened earlier in the day, and I know Scotty's letting me know, but he's there, so that's fine. This whole conversation happened earlier in the day off the air, and Sarah was bringing up some things that we were here yesterday doing our show, and there was especially in the beginning of yesterday's show, the first hour, there were some technical gaffes, some difficulties, nothing huge, as it turned out, nothing too huge, but there was some. There was some real palpable tension in the air during yesterday's show because it just felt like the show was just going belly up. And that was nobody's fault, really, but mine, because there were just a couple very small technical things, and I just kind of let it get inside my head, and I was kind of thrown about it. But anyway, there was sort of people yelling back and forth and trying to get stuff taken care of. And at one point, Scotty J was weighing in with his observations about how it is that we should be progressing with the show in a technical sense. And Sarah, you were really getting pissed off. I mean, just really getting all bent out of shape about it. And I'm not saying unjustifiably so. I'm just saying that by
Scotty J, I've had this problem with him over and over again. I don't think Scotty J, is used to working with women, and B, recognizes the fact that he's a call screener and that his little comments, you know, that should be set aside for the engineers are not appreciated. And I'm a little, I'm actually honestly a little pissed off that I just don't think that Scotty J treats me with the proper respect that he should, because I believe it's because of the fact that I'm a woman.
Now, and Scotty is there. Scotty, are you, he is somewhere, he's lurking in the studio there.
Yes, I'm here. He's,
all right. There.
How's it going, guys?
Like a voice from the golden ether. There he is. All right. So this is, so let me ask you this now, Scotty. Now, in your past, have you had female, not counting your wife, have you had female superiors in the past?
Absolutely. And I don't want to say you're wrong, Sarah, because I do.
Here it comes.
Not
Sarah,
everyone
I don't
like
to say
I don't
that
ever
you learn your place. I don't Many know, of them are just friends.
No. Let me speak.
I've had women in my home, Rick.
Exactly. No, what I'm trying exactly. to say is I do respect you, and so I you know, I'll work on that if you have that perception, but it that is not true at all. I think the job
That'd
that you
be
do,
great, Scotty Jim.
I think the job that you do is fantastic, and you know, so I don't know how we got you know on the wrong
track. Well, it's
track,
a hard radio is a hard thing to learn, and it's hard to learn you know what you should say, what you shouldn't say, what your position is. When I first got into it, Rick had to sit me down numerous times and put me in my place because I had no idea what I was doing.
Well, and I think this is also, this ties in with your, it was like that business a few weeks ago of the Boy Scouts, the pussifying your child or whatever you were all worried. And if you remember, you weren't listening a couple weeks ago, so you, Scotty, had this whole, you came into work with your nose all bent out of shape because you were taking your kid to the Boy Scouts, which it was your idea, by the way, and then you yanked him out of there as soon as you realized there was a female scoutmaster, which is something that you just, by the way, how's it going with you becoming a scout? Master, since you were apparently so horrified at the female influence they were having, how's it going with you now becoming a scoutmaster? How have the meetings been?
See, I think I'm the one who's misperceived in a lot of situations here, because that is not what I was saying about that at
what
all.
Would you
I
say
was
the just three saying biggest. That, let me ask you this, Scotty.
Okay, go
Hold
ahead.
On, let me ask you this. What would you say are the three biggest misperceptions that people have about you? Go.
A, that I don't know what I'm doing. B, you know, B,
I'm sorry, is that out loud?
B, I've been involved with broadcasting and radio for over 22 years, so I do
That's
know
a
what
lie.
I'm talking about. Okay, go.
You're
okay.
lying. That is a lie.
That is
That's
not true.
A bold-faced lie.
That is not true.
You've been broadcasting for 20 years. This is
yes.
not broad. When you say broadcasting, you mean
not
broadcasting
necessarily
people
over the air.
10 feet away at a bar mitzvah?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
It's the same thing. It's just not over the air.
Oh. Okay. No.
Okay.
Oh, but
no.
There's a misperception.
Let's get Bob.
Then.
We'll continue that.
There's a misperception.
Okay.
That's fine.
So, in your, let me ask you this, and I don't mean to disparage you. Let me know when Bob Costantini's there.
Sure,
by the way.
Sure. It's not ringing.
No,
yet.
It doesn't say. No, it's not. He's not there yet.
Oh, he's calling our line.
Oh, wait. Is this? I think Bob is calling in directly. Let's answer the phone here. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Is this Bob Costantini?
This is Bob Costantini. Right?
God bless you, Bob Costantini. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, live from the hills. And living embodiment of all that is good, Bob Costantini. Brother, how's it going? No, you know, it's because we believe, we know that you are a professional, Bob Costantini. We know that you bring your A game every day without fail. So
I try to, at least, yes.
All right, my friend. Well, what is going on in the world of CNN? And if I sound a little I don't know, a little obtuse today, it's because we're having a few sort of technical glitches. And the CNN prep sheet which I had is the CNN prep sheet that I had was I normally get it printed out on this, so I kind of know what you guys are talking about. But today, it actually, the whole thing just kind of went belly up. And so what I had is I had it sent to my handheld where it's on a screen like half an inch by half an inch.
Oh, I've done that too.
Yeah, and whatnot. So anyway, but we had these sound bites earlier from George W. Bush where, now correct me if I'm wrong in this, because this seems like the sort of thing, look, I'm not an especially bright or learned man, but it does seem like having a fenced off border is sort of a linear, sort of a binary proposition, where you're either fencing off the border or you're not. And would I be wrong to compare this border fence that George W. Bush is talking about to a New York City turnstile, which can be easily hopped by anybody with two legs?
Well, it could be, it could be compared to that, but Vicente Fox, the outgoing Mexican president, is compared to the Berlin Wall, and it's going to be a sore spot with him, and a sore spot perhaps for 700 whole miles.
Yeah, but the Berlin Wall actually worked. I mean, that's the thing about the Berlin Wall, right? I mean, it was actually effective.
Yes, and it's the sort of thing that one of the more interesting aspects of all this, not only is it just 700 miles of a 2,000-mile border, but they have not put up the funding for this fence. If it actually ever comes to fruition, Washington will have to appropriate money for it. And it is interesting to note that if we have a change in one or both houses of Congress, you know, the Democrats, if they take over someplace, it will be probably very difficult to get the money appropriated for this. Only $1 billion has been set aside to start all of this. And a 700-mile fence government contract is going to cost a lot more than $1 billion.
I have two questions about this. A, I mean, I don't mean to sound too dense about this, but it seems like if you're going to build a fence, build a fence. I mean, I'm not, whether or not one thinks it's a good idea, what is the logic behind having a fence that just kind of covers, because really it's a 700-mile fence, which means that, I mean, people think 700 miles is a long distance, but that's only if you're in the center of it. I mean, if you live near either end of the fence, it really is going to be that you can just kind of walk up and walk around it, it seems like to me. So why aren't they just doing the whole border?
Well, of course, you can have a cartoon image of that kind of thing that, you know, you stop the fence in one spot and then just walk around.
Yeah.
But the way I've seen it, of course, is that the fence would stop in some of the more desolate areas, desert areas that immigration officials believe would be dangerous to cross. And it would also stop at places where border agents are, you know, able to kind of maintain order. The biggest part of this fence would be the most likely spots that someone would want to cross into the United States. That's the way I understand it, and I don't claim to be an expert on all this, and I've not actually ever been down there even.
Here's an interesting question: is it true that we're actually going to bring? And I read this, I believe on CNN.com. Is it true that we're actually going to bring in immigrant workers from Mexico to build the fence and then kick them back across the border into Mexico?
I have not heard really, but of course that's kind of a running joke in a lot of late night talk shows and Saturday Night Live and that kind of thing.
I mean, really, because if so, you almost have to admire in a way the perversity of the mind that would sort of think up that plan. I mean, it is almost admirable in a really deep and twisted way. Let's talk about our good friend Congressman Mark Foley. We're now coming up on the midterm elections, and now Dennis Hastert's just flogging everybody to try to get this taken care of and resolved. And he obviously wants this off of the national radar, before the midterms. But where are we now? Because I know that, was it Foley either did name? Well, I mean, he must have named the priest, because we've been talking about this. Is the same priest that he's been accused by some other kids now of having fondled them years ago. So where are we now? What do we know?
Well, in a sense, it has been taken off the national radar for at least a couple of days, because on Tuesday we had Speaker Hastert testify before the committee for a couple of hours, and he made a quick little statement as he came out. Yesterday, and actually well into last night, his counsel, one of his aides, testified for a long time about what he had learned and about a warning he may have received regarding Foley last fall and what he did with that warning. Today we were expecting another a lower level aide to Speaker Hastert, but so far we've not seen anybody go into the lovely wood panel doors down there at the Ethics Committee. And so, you know, for 1 or 2 days at least, it's been off the national radar as we've discussed other things. And, of course, the president's news conference yesterday took a lot of the focus away from any kind of Foley centric items, if you will.
Well, and the Bushes, I mean, is in a way, it's got to be great news for Karl Rove that that this New Jersey court ruled, they have this same-sex marriage ruling, which is it doesn't make same-sex marriage legal as such, but it just sort of paved the way for that. So that's got to be good news if you're Karl Rove, because Karl Rove figured out a long time ago if you just pander to people in red states who are afraid of things that aren't exactly like them, that's what gets people out to the polls. So this is, I mean, that's sort of a thing that, no pun intended, fell into the president's lap.
This is a sort of thing that actually, if you were Bob Menendez, the interim senator from New Jersey, he's a Democrat, who was given the seat after the previous senator became governor, John Corzine. So Menendez is now running for election for the U.S. Senate. He wants to get the job permanently, and to have this kind of thing come up in New Jersey at this point is probably not good for Menendez, because he's in a tough race. There are a lot of ethical issues also dogging him.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are coming up on the now. Are you here for the? Not that we don't enjoy having you. I'm just curious about this. Are you here for the remainder of the week, for the time being, for the future? Where is our good friend Lisa Goddard right now? Is she just sort of off, or?
Yeah. Tomorrow's Friday, and then Monday and Tuesday I'll be here as well.
But, all right, my friend.
Is taking some time off.
All right. Well, we will speak to you early next week. If not tomorrow, you enjoy yourself and have a great afternoon. We will talk to you soon, Bob.
Look forward to it.
All right, thank you. Thank you. There you go. CNN radio correspondent Bob Costantini, right there. Rick, put this on your business cards. Rick Emerson, Rocktologist. After your power ballad guessing performance, your future is assured. There you go. Yeah, but I feel all bad that I didn't get that bad English song right, that I thought it was The Price of Love. Yeah, now that was my...
You should. I was pretty disappointed.
I'm trying to remember if that was my senior prom song or my junior prom song, because I went to both. One of them was Richard Marx, and one of them was bad English. And I'm not exactly sure which was which there. But there are photos of me, like, full-on mullet, you know, and then just, and like, wearing, like, God, I think it was wearing my Converse. I think that was my only, I think it was the only kind of interesting thing about my appearance at the point is I had my black Chuck Taylors on. But then, like, the bad, like, the tux from Mr. Tux, you know, one of those places that exists only to dress teenage boys who are hoping to get laid on prom night. That's it. That's the only way those guys can ever make any money. And then standing, and I swear to God, I'm actually just going through my basement the other day, and I was talking about this when I found my big porn collection that I just... This is because Jeremy and I... Not Jeremy, because he doesn't have any porn, but we were... An engineer who shall not be named, Jerome, and I, were talking about this during the break about how this is like, I just found this... There ought to be some DVD porn swap that you can do somewhere, because you can't just throw it away. You can't just get rid of that. It's just like throwing away a family pet. I mean, it's been there for you in all the rough times. Is that how you pay porn back, by throwing it out,
it's
putting
true.
It in
the
dumpster?
Same thing when your friends buy you like sex toys and you don't know what to do with it, or you know, like random things.
Is it like that?
It is, because you don't want to move it from place to place, and you're like, okay, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with. I had a.
Do you have friends who buy you sex toys
for my 21st birthday?
What kind of friends are these?
My friend bought me this huge glow in the dark thing
item,
and so it stayed in its packaging. And I when I was moving. From Hawthorne to my other place, I didn't know what to do with it, so I like wrapped it up in a t-shirt and then a plastic bag and
layers and boxes and boxes,
yep.
And boxes, and you threw it
and
away,
then went
right?
To a random dumpster and threw it in.
Like you're disposing of a murder gun after the crime.
Completely.
You put the bullets over here, and then the gun goes. The cat's in the bag, and the bag is in the river. Yeah, it's totally just tossing it off the bridge in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. It's totally. I've done that. Well, and it's like, okay, now since we're talking about this, I had to throw away a whole bunch of Playboy mags. I didn't have to, but I mean, it was thrown away. You know, like we got magazines up the wazoo at our house. I mean, we subscribe to like 15 different magazines. We have time to read none of them. You know, I do most of my reading online at this point anyway, and I've told this story. I just subscribed to it for, it was for charity, and Playboy was the only good magazine they had, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, I'm not one of those guys. I am not that guy from the 1990s TV commercial, but I don't just read Playboy. I'm also a collector, because the problem is magazines just take up a lot of space, and you tell yourself you will go back and read those magazines again. I can't throw this out. It's got a gripping interview with Adam Carolla. No, you realize quickly you're never going to go back and read it again. And... That, I mean, it's not that the women in Playboy aren't attractive, because they are, but it's like they're all kind of hot in the same way. And if you've seen, really, I don't mean to sound like above it all, but if you've seen one Playboy Playmate, you kind of have seen them all. They really, there is no difference from one month to another to all those women in Playboy. They're all equally attractive, and they all look like they just got stamped out of a mold somewhere. So you never keep those Playboy magazines. But you just can't toss them away. Because then, you know, because then you start thinking just stupid, retarded things like, well, what will the trash man think of it? Who cares what the goddamn trash man thinks of you? You know what I mean? Trash man probably has severed heads in his trash every Tuesday. What does he care? But you start thinking, well, I can't let him think that I have a penis. You know, and then it's just, well, I'll put him inside a box. But then it's like layer upon layer of weirdness, because you want to put your magazines, like your Playboys or your whatever... Like, I remember I had, I was never, like, a big reader of Hustler. It was just a little too, it was like one step into, women in Hustler were always just a little too skanktastic for me. I just couldn't get with Hustler. It was, like, even Hustler, and God bless Larry Flint, he's a great American, he really is, but it, like even brand new Hustler, like right out of the bag, Hustler magazines seemed all, they seemed sort of soiled. I don't know what it is. Like you, no, seriously, because you, you, see, you
did
women.
Did you buy them used?
No. I'm saying I would not buy a used Hustler. Where would you even do that? Bobby, do you have any used Hustlers? I'm looking for something wrinkly. No, you see, you don't know. There's a whole lot of things that women don't know. And one of the things, the bits of knowledge that women don't have, one of the bits of knowledge women don't have is that adult magazines come sealed in Mylar or in plastic. They all come sealed.
I dated a mailman. I remember you telling me about, like, the black envelopes.
Totally. That's what Playboy comes in. Playboy comes in black plastic. But even if you go to, like, the store, and it didn't used to be that way. It used to be that they were just put up in the rack, but not the case anymore, especially like a plaid pantry or something. But so you would get the Hustler, and you open the plastic, and it comes out. But even a Hustler that is, like, fresh out of the plastic, like you just want to wash your hands after touching it. It's like you want to keep it away from your food, whatever. It's just a little too sleazy. But for some reason, I had a Hustler magazine at one point. I forget why. I think it's like...
You were lonely?
No, I...
You brought it from Jeremy?
It was on the top of the porn stash. I think it was that I had, this is back in the early iteration of this program here in Portland, but I think there was some, like, stripper coming through town who had been in Hustler, and they had given me a copy, and she's like, and here's a copy of this month's, you know, issue with me in it, here you go, huh? And it's like, I'm gonna keep this, so I went to throw it away, but it's like, but I put it literally, like, inside a bag, inside a box, inside a suitcase, inside, like, a crate, inside a huge metal sphere that I welded shut, and then I put that in the dumpster so that no one would know that I read Playboy or Hustler. But then Playboy, I went to do the same thing with my Playboy magazines, but then you start thinking about when you were a youth and how all of your discoveries of Playboy magazine, most guys have had this experience growing up, guys of my age anyway, where you found a Playboy sitting in the trash, you found a Playboy sitting in the dumpster, or you found it, I remember when we were kids, we were like, I don't know, like sixth grade at my high school, but my middle school at that point. And my middle school had like a big sort of soccer field, and then there was like a chain link fence that separated it from a bowling alley. And somebody in the alley behind the bowling lanes had thrown away a Playboy magazine, and the wind had caught it and blown it up against the chain link fence where it just stayed. And we were out at recess one day. Somebody hits a fly ball way into the backfield. We all go to get the baseball, and it was like a magical Goonies moment or something. You know what I mean? Where you're looking for something, and then you find the map in the attic, and then you pull the lever, and then a pirate ship emerges. We go to find the baseball, and the baseball has landed right on top of this Playboy magazine. And, I mean, really, when you're six, that is like you are Ponce de Leon. You know what I mean? You have found the Fountain of Youth. You have found the Grail.
God wanted you to have that.
It's exactly what it was. It's where the finger of Providence came down and said, and there you shall find pillow-like bosoms. And you will enjoy them, you know, and that's what it is. So when you throw away Playboy magazines, you are torn between, I don't want to wish for the neighborhood to know that I'm viewing erotica in the comfort of my own home. And yet, by the same token, you realize that there's any number of people out there. What of the homeless? Are they not? We ought to do, that's what we ought to do for Christmas. We ought to raise, the pornography for the homeless. Some sort of, you know, just the homeless have needs as well. So... I'm just going on one long, endless monologue here that means nothing. Anyway, so I had a bunch of porn, and I don't know what to do with it.
You can put it with the toilet paper and it disappears.
You just give it to my neighbors. Give it to Megan.
All right. Well, one free with every roll of toilet paper stolen.
There you go. Let's take a break here. All right. Stephanie Miller. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. We'll come back. We have Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, we'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, and we'll read you... I don't even know what this is.
This is Talk Talk.
Talk.
Gwen Stefani covered this song, It's My Life.
I've never heard this. This is another one of those 80s songs. A lot of 80s songs fall through cracks in my brain.
They all sound alike.
Yeah, wait. 80,
you always know you're listening to an 80s song.
See, this sounds like Morrissey to me.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, I could totally hear this being a Smith song. Coming up later on, we have the worst story you've ever heard in your entire life. You stay there for the Rick Emerson Show. We are back after this on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. this song. This is a great song.
I have this album on cassette.
Really?
Salvation Army band played, and the children drunk lemonade.
You know, this song is, you know what everybody, a universal sentiment about this song that you don't really realize until you talk to people because you think it's just you, is that this song is creepy. I mean, it's a great song, don't get me wrong, it's beautiful. But it's, maybe creepy is not the word, it's haunting. It's a very, it has an element of sort of creepiness to it. I don't know what it is. It's kind of an unsettling song in some ways. And I can't really, there's the post. Damn. Laura confirmed that too. And she has a great story about the song, which is that the very first time she heard this, she was really sick in bed and she had a fever of like 104. So everything is sort of loopy anyway and everything's sort of wacky. And she said that she heard the song for the first time when she had this fever, and she was delirious. And she said that as creepy as it is, hearing the song when you were delirious was, she said, was actually almost terrifying because the song is so dreamy and it's kind of trance-like, and with the blowing wind, and it's the thing about Kennedy, and it's a weird song.
And the northern town is Buffalo, New York.
Is that what it is? See, now, yeah. Why did you have to ruin it for me? See, in my head,
I thought that was common knowledge.
Why would they be in Buffalo? I mean, no disrespect to Buffalo. I was huge in Buffalo. WGR, baby. Represent.
550.
Yes, well, yes. It's now a sports station. You know, John Paul is the program director from Couple. He came from there. Wow.
It is a small world, isn't it?
It really is.
Well, that is the northern town being spoken of in this song.
Now, how do you know that that's true?
Because I'm an old DJ who played this a million times.
I'm sorry, Mr. Well, you know, Scotty's been in radio for 25 years, too, so maybe we should get his opinion on this.
Yes, I've seen him at several stations that I passed through.
Yes. That's not a resume so much as it is just sort of a leaflet, sort of a business card. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. And they never had any other hits because the song was impossible to top. That song is so great. That Life in a Northern Town song is so great that there was nothing you could ever do. The only thing I ever heard from those guys, the Dream Academy, the only thing that I ever heard from those guys after this was they did a cover of a really obscure Alice Cooper song called The Ballad of Dwight Frye, which is off the Love It to Death album. And that's only available on, there's an import B-sides collection of the Dream Academy that has this, again, this is a cover of this Alice Cooper song. But that's it, man. What is, Scotty went to the bathroom in his coat. Chris is your new current call screener. Really? Is that true? I have no idea who's typing this on the screen. Could all be a ruse. Ladies and gentlemen, we got Jim Roop coming up later on. And we will... he's back now? Really? All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's... Since Tim is here, actually. Scotty, let's welcome Scotty J. Back to the Rick Emerson radio program. Scotty, are you there?
Yes, I am. How's it going?
All right. Hey, when we last left the Rick Emerson radio program, Scotty, you were regaling us with your many decades of experience in the radio field. Please now to be elaborating on that.
What I was talking about is...
All letters and locations, please.
I'd like an air check.
Market sizes.
I haven't been over the air, but I wanted to just make it known that I have some knowledge of the industry. Ever since high school, back in the 80s, all the way up until now, I have been in and out of this industry in some form or a fashion.
Don't you get...
However...
Don't you get stacks of resumes like that on your desk?
I'm serious. Would you like... Are you trying to get a weekend talk show?
No. I was trying to make a point that I know a little bit about.
See, that's a lie, though, when you say that you've been in and out of this industry for 20 years. You've been out of this industry for 20 years. That's what you mean.
Now you're making him feel bad.
Okay. I'm not trying to make him feel bad, but I'm saying.
Feeling left out.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
He's missing
about
a good thing.
Okay, I can reverse it. I've been out
and in. I'm not trying to be a jerk. But you haven't.
Okay.
No, that's my only. I'm not trying to be obnoxious about it. I'm just saying, they it does seem to me that they are distinctly different fields. Sarah's really trying hard not to laugh right now.
No, I'm sorry. I just posted Jeremy's porn stash on my
website. Oh, okay.
We're all staring at it.
SarahXDillon.com. But I'm just saying that for many people who work in radio, the people within the sound of my voice who work in the industry, that who labor and go from one market to another, packing up all the belongings in a van, as Andy Travis would say, town to town, up and down the dial, It really, I'm sure that none of those people would share your assessment that being being a wedding DJ is the same as being on the radio. That's all I'm saying. I believe that they are drastically different. I'm not saying, now, Scotty, your career has its own challenges, its own special skills.
I would never want to be a DJ in a public place. That's
no, I mean, he's a stronger man than I am.
Scotty has an ear for music.
Well, no, you asked about misconceptions, and I was merely trying to make a point that it's not like I just fell off the turnip truck yesterday, and here I am at AM 970.
No, you paid $22,000 for
exactly.
this job via Mount Hood Community College.
What an expensive turnip truck.
He's so clear. It's like he's standing in the room with us.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I love this microphone. This one's a good one.
All right, so the three biggest misconceptions about you that the audience might have are what? So the first is that they foolishly believe that you do not have decades of radio experience.
Or that I don't know what I'm
doing. Now you set them straight.
Right.
What are the other two?
The other two misconceptions are I have worked with female bosses my entire life, and I have no problem whatsoever with that. So I
as long as they speak to you graciously in another place.
Hurry up with those French fries.
Yeah, so
they wear something.
As long as they don't teach boys.
So if they wear something low cut.
Right. So if that is a misconception, I will work on that.
So your problems with Sarah are in no way related to the fact that she's a woman.
Not. I have no problem with Sarah. That's what
good
I'm trying
answer,
to.
Good answer, Scotty. He's totally trying to trap you.
No.
No. Yesterday, Scotty was legit. He was angry. Scotty was legitimately pissed off yesterday.
You know, when I get upset, it's like it comes and goes within 3 minutes. I mean, I don't hold on to anything like that.
Mine grows.
No, Sarah harbors those grudges.
And I feel bad about that.
Day,
and I do want to say
special
something.
Type of soil.
I would like to say something, Sarah, that I am here to help, and I will make it. I will make more of an effort to show you that. So I'm here to help you.
Thank you, Scotty J. I think you do excellent work.
See, we're all patched up now.
All right, now what? Those are the only two misconceptions you have.
No, there were three.
Was the third?
I didn't say numbers wise, but the third was we were talking about the Scouts issue. And that was a little bit of a kind of a joke.
You did agree on the air, by the way, to become a Scoutmaster so that you could exert your own brand of masculine influence over today's youth.
Yes, but I want to.
How's that working out?
It's going great, actually. I've gone to a couple of meetings. And
have you really? Are these meetings in the real world or meetings inside Scottyland?
Meetings. Well, I've gone to 20 years worth of meetings, Rick.
Yes, thank you.
Are these meetings at 7 p.m. with free coffee?
No, it was at 7 p.m. The other night it was at 7 p.m. But it was kind of a joke.
Are you making amends yet?
Yeah, okay.
So have you become an actual Scoutmaster?
No. I'm just kind of an assistant.
We're on the letter.
You're just sort of standing outside staring in at small boys, aren't you?
See, you can, okay, run with it. That was good.
That's not a no. I didn't hear a denial anywhere.
No, I am not.
Uh-huh. And
no.
So you're doing what?
No,
exactly?
I
know who you are? Are you just a guy standing in the corner in weird pants?
That's correct. But I do volunteer to help. They never need my help. It's kind of a common thing in my life.
The curious thing, they always seem to have everything handled.
Exactly.
It's really strange, Rick. They're always asking for help, yet when I volunteer, things seem to be well in hand. It's the most curious thing.
I did want to clear up the pussification
thing. I'm glad we've cleared this up. The audience's their image of you is probably burnished beyond all recognition.
The pussification thing, I need to address that. That was just kind of a joking cry to see more male influence in the scouting. When I went to scouts, there was a lot of males with influence there, and females have their influence, and it was basically just kind of a joking cry to say more men should help out. That's all I was saying.
And what do you believe that the female influence was doing to your child?
Nothing. I just believe
it. I'm a boy.
No, that's not true. Yeah, you can't change it now. You can't retcon this. What do you believe the female influence on your boy was/is? Is your kid still going to scouts?
Yes.
Okay, so there is a female scoutmaster?
Yes.
Still?
Yes.
Okay, so you are allowing your child to be molded by a woman. Now, what do you feel the influence of this is? What do you feel the impact on your boy is?
I never thought it was bad. I just thought that there should be more, you know.
You thought that they should be equal, but perhaps separate.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what? I kind of agree with Scotty on this.
Well done.
I just think that, okay, let's put it this way. You know,
I learned a lot from a woman as a scout leader.
Right, see?
As a Girl Scout leader.
And from the male perspective, we talk more about fire and whittling. And from the female perspective, I'm not going to open up my mouth anymore.
Really? What about the hunting and the gathering?
That too.
What about the crushing up of berries to paint pictures of gigantic oxen on the cave wall?
Yeah. That too.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Scotty. Appreciate that. There you go.
All right, gentlemen.
All right. Let's take a visit to the happiest place on earth. It's Tim Riley, and he's at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Dick Cheney endorses simulated drowning. The vice president has endorsed the use of waterboarding for terror suspects and confirmed that the controversial interrogation technique was being used on a senior al-Qaeda operative now being held at Gitmo. Cheney was responding to a conservative radio interviewer asked whether waterboarding, which involves simulated drowning, was a no-brainer if the information it yielded would save American lives.
You know, waterboarding is like nuclear exchange. There was this phrase they used back in the 80s called nuclear exchange, which is what they said instead of nuclear war. And nuclear exchange was a little bit of newspeak that the Reagan administration used. And it made it sound like we were all going to be swapping presents at Christmas time. Oh, it's a nuclear exchange. We'll give them some of ours. They'll give us some of theirs. Everybody will be happy. We'll all go home and have nog. That's what waterboarding. Doesn't waterboarding sound like they're all going to be out on the, you know, on Lake, you know, they're all going to be on Lake Chattanooga? Having a great time and then barbecuing something. No, we're just going to, we'll be back later on. We're going to be waterboarding.
It's a no-brainer for me, said Dick Cheney. You know, for a while there, I was being criticized as being the vice president for torture. Well, we don't torture. We live up to our obligations for international treaties. But the fact is, we already have a fairly robust interrogation program without torture, and we need to be able to do that. Waterboarding, yeah, that is. Well, that's what he said. Meanwhile, there is an interesting campaign going on in the state of Tennessee. Apparently, a white man is running against a black man, and the black man belongs to the Democratic Party. The white man is Republican Bob Corker.
That's hard to believe.
And he said he's glad a controversial Republican National Committee ad is no longer on there. In it, it shows somebody playing his Democratic opponent, a black man, daring to call a white woman on the telephone.
One was a radio ad in Middle Tennessee. It came down. I asked for the RNC to take their ad down. It came down. And now I'd love for my opponent, who also the DNC, I think, is running some very tacky ads. I'd love for him to ask for those to come down.
I'm unclear. Now, this is all very confusing.
The ad show a white woman calling his black opponent on the telephone.
And then looking him in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So that's it. Okay. Meanwhile, let's talk about Halloween, trick-or-treat. Relationship advice magazine Tango, whatever that might be, is making it easy for couples to mirror their favorite dysfunctional stars this Halloween. The publication has compiled the top 10 celebrity Halloween costumes. MangoMag.com editor Susan Hollett said there is no problem filling the list.
We stuck to 10, but as you know in Hollywood, people are sort of making fools of themselves every day. So there's lots of material there.
Wait, so this is like couples going as like Paris Hilton and whoever?
It is.
All right.
Britney Spears and Kevin Federline are a popular costume again this Halloween.
That is so 2005.
I remember that way back
Britney
when.
Britney has been a Halloween costume for the past 2 or 3 years since they got together. But she's had so many problems this year with the baby, hanging on to the baby, driving badly.
Sarah and I went as Britney and Kevin Federline in October of 2004.
That was in a previous radio station.
On the bleeding edge of this sort of thing.
Yeah, that was awesome.
End of the curve. That was really, those are our best costumes ever. I had the weirdest deja vu because, you know, Tom Leick is going to be here next Friday, November 3rd, live 3 to 7 from Barracuda. And so we're doing the walkthrough. There the other day, because they've changed the place a little bit, done a little bit of remodeling. But we were down in the basement where those green rooms are, and I remember that. Yeah, I was having just the weirdest flashback, because we've been at Barracuda a couple times with our show. So, and don't forget, that is coming up next Friday, 3 to 7. Tom Leick is broadcasting live from Barracuda.
Meanwhile, this woman described how to dress like fellow DUIers Mel Gibson and Paris Hilton for Halloween.
Put him in a gingham shirt. That's what he was, what he got his mugshot taken. He was wearing this gingham shirt. He could be carrying a Bible. Paris is so easy. Long blonde wig, short skirt, carrying your stuffed chihuahua. And then what you do is you get a pair of handcuffs and you just handcuff yourselves together.
All right.
What could be more fun?
It's rib-tickling hilarities with it. Don't forget the Tom Leick broadcast next Friday, 3 to 7, brought to you by Taboo Adult Video, Wild Turkey, and Team Quest, Mixed Martial Arts and Fitness. Do we have to break here? Oh, we're so behind. All right. We're going to break. We'll come back. We have more from Tim Riley. We have Jim Roop coming up. We've got to give away some of these House of Midnight tickets. We'll do Spot That Leftover Music sitting in the Movin' 107.5 studios for no readily apparent reason. What is this? Oh, this is George Michael.
Yep.
It's right.
Okay. All right. No, because for a minute it sounded like a Madonna song there for a second. It sounded like crazy for you.
This
for
is Father
just
Seeker
a second.
On
yeah.
AM 970.
Why are you going to be a show off like that? I love this song.
It's the music that makes you feel good.
I don't remember what this video is. Is this the black and white video? No, that's a Faith. I can't even remember what the video for this song is.
Wow, that was composed in.
That's what I do. Boy, this is the best album, Faith. This album really is just an absolute classic. All right. Back after this, Rick Emerson radio program live on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.